praise be to Allah. Dear beloved Muslims, friends, peoples, assalamu alaikum. That is, peace be unto you. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the garden, evolver, cherisher, and sustainer of all the world. We seek him for assistance. We seek him for forgiveness. We beg goodness of him. And we put our complete faith in him. And we never break with that trust. La sharika lahu, there is nothing worthy of worship except the one Lord, Allah, alone, and Muhammad is his messenger. Dear beloved people, praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the world. We the Muslim community, we the membership of Masjid Muhammad, we the followers of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, we would like to welcome you here today in Newark and thank you for your time. We would like to introduce to you the Muslim American leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. But just before we do that, we would like to share with you some verses from our Bible called Holy Quran, the number one authority in the Muslim human life. Allah says, verily, the most honored of you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous of you. He who is best is the one who is most careful of his duty to Almighty God. Our Muslim American leader, W. Dean Muhammad, he works for human dignity of the individual. Praise be to Allah. We have a leader here in America who has our interest at heart. And as religious people, as Muslims, as supporters of our leader, we have to be of service to all people. We cannot just serve Muslims, we have to serve all people. We look out here today and we see different kinds of people. Different nationalities, but the same God created all of us. And sometimes we even have some differences. But Allah says that we will be differing, even up to the day of judgment. But at the same time, he also says to us to go as though we are in a race towards all that which is good. So we have some common interests, and we have the leader here today, the teacher, to give us the direction. And a leader needs support and followers. And praise be to Allah, we are happy to be a follower and following Imam W. Dean Muhammad. We know that he is the leader who inherited the leadership, who inherited the faith of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. And he has the energy, the ingenuity to work with us. And we know working with us can be difficult sometimes. But praise be to Allah, Allah have given him the patience, and we see that he is here, and I know you are anxious to hear him, and we are also just as anxious. So therefore, we want to let you know that we have our ears perked up. We are all ears, and we would like to present to you the Muslim American leader, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Takbir.
Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world. We greet you with the greetings of Muslims, the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. We pray the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon the last and universal messenger, Prophet Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed. And we pray Allah's blessings on this occasion, that we please him and advance the good. It is a pleasure and an honor to be again here in Newark as your guest to address concerns that Muslims should be given attention to, concern for our attention. I would like to speak on the identity of our concerns, the need to identify concerns, and to manage concerns. And I will be speaking from very familiar language of the Muslims. Very familiar language of the Muslims. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is, with Allah's name, the gracious, the merciful. The term important is, I believe, the first term or the first word that we should give our attention to, the term important. Our religion shows us where we should place importance. Understand first that we may have many points of concern in mind that we are addressing or that we want to bring to you. The most important of all is that we know where to place importance. I believe that people succeed and fail because of the mismanagement of importance, and even more so because of the failure on their part to recognize where to place importance. There are many ways to say what I'm saying. Perhaps you said exactly what I'm saying now, but you put it in different words. Muslims, we should understand this, that our religion is a religion of conscious behavior. Our religion is ordered for us to urge us into conscious behavior. Let me apply that to myself right now for this occasion. If I came out here to speak to you today on this occasion, and I didn't give serious thought beforehand to what I'm going to say today, and to you and your makeup as Muslims, or your needs as Muslims, if I just came here and in the spirit, so to speak, without any conscious preparation, then I would be failing that requirement in our religion. That requirement in the religion that wants us to be conscious in our behavior. So whatever we do, we should be conscious of it. And I begin with the word importance. We know our religion is a religion of prayer. Our day begins with a conscious awareness of obligation to pray, the morning prayer, the pre-sunrise prayer, the prayer before sunrise, Fajr prayer, dawn prayer. We are awakened in the morning. We hear certain words coming into our ears, coming to us, awakening us in the morning. Our sleeping minds are awakened from their sleep by certain words. Allah, that is God, Akbar, is greater. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Allah is greater. There's different translations, which are correct, all of them. Allah, God, is greatest. Now, greatest is a description, it's a modifier. Greatest tells us something about God. So the first word we hear in the morning that awakes us, not the bell, not the alarm clock, but the adhan, the call to prayer, says something of Allah, something of God. It says that He is greatest. He is greater. Isn't greater more important?
If I say this is greater, that means, too, that this is more important. That which is greater, in my estimation, is more important. Should be, anyway, if I'm thinking right. So we hear in the morning, God is more important. That's what it's saying. You know, if you want to say a man has airs, a man thinks too much of himself, he is proud-chested, you use the same word. You use a form of the same word to say he's big-headed, he's proud-headed, he's proud of it. Important. I mean in Arabic, but also in English. We say he's big-headed, right? Or he's a bigoted person. It means the same. He thinks himself more important. So understand that we have a language, and one word that you hear all the time, you hear the meaning all the time coming as one word, oh, God is greater, God is greatest. But understand that there are meanings in these terms. And you can talk about these terms, and you can bring out so many meanings that are expressed in these terms by the one word. And in this case, the word is greater, or greatest, Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So we awaken. Someone is telling us in the adhan, the one who's calling the prayer, he tells us in the morning, he awakes us with this. He says, God is more important. So if we want to manage importance in our life, then the first concern should be concern for God. How is my relationship with my Lord? How is my relationship with God? How am I managing that importance? And that's a job, isn't it? Because some of us can't get up in the morning and make that prayer. And we'll push it aside as something that's not for this time, not for me, or not for this time, not for the United States of America. It's not for Newark. Not for New York City. We push it aside. And we carry the burden on our hearts, whether we are aware of it or not. It's affecting us subconsciously. And our spirit ain't good. We don't have a good spirit because we are playing down the importance of the most important thing in the life of a believer, and that is God is more important than whatever else you can think of. So you say, well, I would pray, but I need some sleep. I went to bed late, and I know I'm going to need some sleep if I'm going to be able to work, function on the job like I should, you know. I can't go out there and do these 8 hours unless I can't get up and take an hour out and wash up and make prayer. That's too much, you know. So we begin to make all these excuses. And we said, well, I got arthritis anyway. And I'm sure Allah knows it. And so we make all of these excuses. And Allah has provided for us. So if you got arthritis, you can't bend the leg. He say, pray sitting. Well, you can't sit. He say, well, you pray lying down. Managing importance is a concern that Muslims ought to look at. Managing importance. I believe if we can manage importance with intelligence, we'll be successful. Anybody who manages importance in an intelligent way must be successful. Well, first of all, Allah is the most important thing in the life of the believer. Allah, his Lord, his God, his Maker, his Creator, the one that made everything possible for him, the one that he owes everything.
everything's possible because of Allah. But then he should have faith. Realize that Allah is more important, and then have faith in Allah. But before faith, there should be an awareness that there is a cause for all of these things. The meal you love, it comes from somewhere. And we should want to know the source, where this food came from. Okay, it came from the farm. What is the farm? It's a piece of land. Where did the land come from? Well, it's part of the earth. No man made it. Where did the seeds come from that grew the food? No man made them. And the animals that we eat, no man made them. The water we drink, no man made it. And whatever man made, we call it artificial. Right? Whatever man made is artificial. They even use the term now, unnatural, not natural. But really, it's not artificial. It's just a mixture of what Allah made. He just takes it and mixes it up, changes it around, and throws other stuff in it, and throw a lot of things together that Allah made and come up with something that He made. So whether it's original, natural, or artificial, or man-made, it has a source. And you trace its source back to Allah's creation. And whether you say Allah, or God, or whatever, or cause, or natural cause, no matter what you call it, you should feel that you owe thanks to something. But we're talking about Muslims. So there's no question about the God that Muslims acknowledge. That's Allah, the one Lord and Creator that made all of these things. That's the Lord we acknowledge. So there's no question. So we should give thanks to Allah. We should realize that ourselves, our food, our clothing, our intelligence, because all that you know also came from what Allah created. You don't know anything that didn't come from creation. Even the lie you know came from creation. You twisted the truth and made a lie. The truth was there before. You cannot make a lie from nothing. You got to make a lie from something that Allah has provided. So you take something that God has provided and you twist it and make a lie. Even your lie, if you were proud of it, you should say, thank God for making it possible for me to lie. Now, I hope you know how to take me seriously. Someone gonna say, "Well, did you hear what he said today? He said we ought to thank Allah for making it possible for us to lie." I said, if you were proud of it. If you're proud of yourself as a liar, and you don't have it in your heart to be thankful for the right thing, then maybe you should be thankful for the wrong thing that you're proud of. Because even that, it wasn't possible for you without Allah. So we should be people of faith. We should believe in Allah, not just acknowledge Him. Intelligence will help us to find that there's a cause. But once we find that there's a cause, then the heart should feel gratitude, should feel appreciative for the good things, for all the things you enjoy. If there's a cause, we should be thankful. And once one feels to thank the one that's responsible for the things that are good in their life, or the things that have helped them, made possible their existence and their survival and etc., then there should begin a spirit to trust that source. That cause, that source, Allah, that made possible my existence, make possible all that I enjoy, I can have faith in it. I have no problem having faith in one that made possible this being of mine. My being itself is something I can look at and appreciate. This is no cheap creation here. This is a marvelous creation. So I can look at this and say, whatever did this is worthy of my trust. You know, if you need a vehicle to go to a certain place, and you ask some associates or some friends, say, look, I need some kind of transport. I got to go to such and such place, and that's too far for me to walk. I need some kind of transport. And one of them say, oh, I can get you a transport. Okay, give me one. And they bring you a transport, and you get on the transport, and before you put all your weight on it, it collapses. And then another one says, well, I can get you a transport. They bring you a transport. You get in it. It doesn't collapse. You ride it. You go all the way to the destination. No trouble at all. You come back. No trouble at all. Just took a little care. You just had to wipe the windshield off a little bit, maybe, and put a little water in every now and then, you see. Maybe you had to get gas once or twice. But no trouble. You got back all right and everything. So one of these friends you should trust. And one you shouldn't trust. The one who gave you the transport, as soon as you put a little weight on it, it collapsed. You shouldn't trust that one. Well, look, this has been carrying you how long? 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 80 years? It's been carrying you all that long time. Haven't collapsed on you yet. And you haven't been taking care of it very well. So shouldn't you have trust? Shouldn't you have faith in the one that created this like this? Created you like this? Not to mention all the other wonderful things in creation that lets us know the Creator is worthy of our trust. And trust is faith, isn't it? And belief, what is belief? Faith. Because where there is no need for belief, there's no need for trust. If there's no need to believe anything, there's no need to trust. No need to believe anything, there's no need for faith. But where there's a need to believe, there's a need to have faith, there's a need to have trust. Okay. Now, the human being is not a creature without problems, weaknesses, frailties, defects, limitations. So we can perform very well in certain situations with certain tasks. But when the task is
above or more than our ability, oh, we can be made to look very ridiculous trying to accomplish that task. So the human being that performs so well and looks so great, you know, and wins the admiration of everybody, come on, come on. Go on, Tyson. Man, you are the greatest. Put him in another situation and he looks so bad, you turn your head from him. You don't want him to see you looking at him, messing up as he's doing, you see? So the human being has his limitations. So we have our serious limitations as human creatures. And we have to turn to God. And many times we don't feel secure. We fear for our own safety. We fear for our own well-being. And the believers turn to God. Mind you, I'm not speaking to atheists. I came to address Muslims. So we have to turn to God. We turn to God because we want God to support us in our situation. So along with this belief, trust, faith, we need a sense of security, don't we? We want a sense of security. Now, a sense of security doesn't mean we ain't gonna never have a cold. We'll never have a headache. We'll never get tired. We'll never run out of money. No, no one can give us that sense of security. We'd like to have it, but no one can give it to us. But there's a sense of security that Allah can give us that makes us feel secure even though the money ran out. Secure even though the doctor says you have a bad disease. This is, I can't help you with this. This is going to get you one day soon. It's terminal. The believer in Allah, if his faith, the belief is good enough, can face that terrible kind of situation and still remain with a sense of security. Now mind you, when we say Allahu Akbar, we, the one who's making it that, is that directing himself toward a particular orienting point for his prayer, his advance in his prayer. He turns toward Qibla. He turns toward Ka'aba, the house, the name of the house, Ka'aba, in Saudi Arabia, Mecca, holy Mecca. He turns toward that house, saying, God is greater. God is greatest. God is more important. That house and the precincts there have a name. The territory itself has a name. Haram, al-Haram. Al-Haram means the territory or the area where there are restrictions, sacred restrictions. It cannot be violated. And also it is called by our Lord Amnun, place of safety, security. So he prays and he directs himself toward the house and that area there, the house and the area around it is called a place of security, a place of safety. Anyone goes there and prays, if he wants to sleep there out in the open, no house, no doors shutting him in, he feels free and at ease to sleep there. He shouldn't be anticipating any danger, any trouble in that place. So you see that when we wake up in the morning, say Allahu Akbar, and we direct ourselves in prayer, following the muezzin who calls us to wake up and make our ablution, clean up and get ready and dress properly and get ready for our prayer. We follow him in the direction that he turns himself. We turn in that direction, line up behind the imam or whoever will lead the prayer. Or if we're leading the prayer ourselves, we do that, all of that ourselves. We wake up and clean ourselves and make that van and turn toward the house, the Kaaba. And we begin the prayer the same way we begin the adhan. The adhan begins with God is greatest. God is greatest, or God is more important. We begin the prayer. We raise our hands facing that place and we say, Allahu Akbar. God is greatest. A God is more important. And we begin the disciplined prayer. Facing that point, that place. So we are acknowledging God and we are directing ourselves. We are facing a place of security, a place of safety, a place where sin is not to happen. A place where not even injury to another brother or another person, not to happen there. Not even to an animal. You're not even to harm an animal, not there. A place of safety, a place of security. So these terms must be very important in our life. Allahu Akbar. Importance must be very important for us in our life. Importance itself. Because the adhan is saying Allah is more important. So importance itself must be very, very serious for us in our life. Importance. So understand this, that in Allah calling us to recognize him as being more important, he is influencing us, sensitizing us. He is conditioning our mind to place importance properly, to place importance where importance should be placed. And I begin with the most important in my life. That's my Lord, my God. I can't stop there. Allah is important. I owe him prayer. I owe him worship. I pray to him. I pray to him. And in praying to him, I'm facing an area, territory, that's called a place of security, safety, etc. So that should tell me that also important for me in my life is a place that's safe from sin, from violence, from hatred, from anger, from ugliness. A place. Dear people, every one of us in our own hearts and in our souls are Kaaba. Inside yourself is a need there for there to be inside of you internally a place where there will be no sins committed, where there will be no hatred, no anger, no ugliness. All of us have that need. And when we have a place like that, we feel at peace. We feel safe. We feel secure. We don't feel threatened. Sinners feel threatened. Criminals feel threatened. The innocent person never feels threatened. Why should he feel threatened? It is wrongdoings that make us worry about what's going to happen. Now, we are not angels. We are not perfect beings. We are going to commit sin. We are going to do wrong. And not even that land over there, that's sacred to Haram, if it would speak to us and say, has there ever been a sin committed here? It would say, yes. Say, has there ever been any violence done? Yes. Have anybody behaved ugly here? Yes. But it's not allowed here. It's not condoned here. It's not approved here. You should have a place in you like that, where you don't approve of wrong, though it may come because we're human. But you don't approve of it. You say, get out of here. You're not in the place for that behavior. Huh? The Satan himself was cast out because his behavior was unfitting, unsuitable for the high place he was in. So God said, get you down from here. Huh? He was cast out. Rajim, rejected. So we should reject things from our sanctuary. All of us should have a sanctuary in here. And we should reject things and keep it holy and keep it safe, keep it secure. And then we will have a sense of health, a sense of soundness, a sense of well-being, a sense of safety. We won't be fearing everything. We fear no one but God. Doesn't mean that I walk in the dark room I've never been in before, that I won't sense some danger, I won't be afraid. That's natural, that's human. But that fear won't become so big for me that it will take me over. Now, I will immediately call my Lord to my mind, and I will trust myself even in that new, strange, dark place until I manage to get a light on or something. Now, dear beloved people, after we have acknowledged God as being more important and have become aware that we need to trust him, who is most worthy of our trust, how can I trust you and not trust God? Why should I trust you? I got many more reasons to trust God than I got to trust you. So anyone who says they don't believe in God, don't trust God, they ain't worthy to be trusted. No, they're not worthy to be trusted. They're going to disappoint you in a big way, sooner or later. So they're going to disappoint themselves, sooner or later. So we should kind of progress in our growth, a growth of awareness of God as being the benefactor, responsible for everything, awareness of the importance that I should place on my duty, my worship, give worship to him above all things, and realize that I'm a creature with limitations. Because of that, I will feel threatened in certain situations or conditions. I need a sense of security for my well-being, so I should work to improve the environment within myself, and I should work to improve the environment immediately in my charge. That's my room that I occupy, or my apartment that I occupy, or my home that I occupy. I should make it a haram. My room should become a haram.
A restricted area.
I do not approve sin in this room.
I do not approve the
The forbidden thing in
which room?
And if I have an apartment or the home, it should be for the whole home. If I got land, it should be for all my land. Yes.
Now that fence is awareness, it's progress.
I should come to a point now where I am rationally aware of certain evidences. Though I have faith, and I will always need faith, because no one can grab Allah and say, this is Allah. Look, all of you look at Allah. This is Allah. Nobody can do that. No one can go into the future and find paradise. Say, yes, I found it. I went out into the future and I found the paradise that the righteous are going to, and here it is, look at it. So there's always going to be room for faith. But we should have some knowledge. If we give that kind of attention